the leaving of Egypt for the Jewish people was both transformative and formative. We were transformed from people who were slaves. We were formed by becoming a free people. It's very difficult to tell the story of leaving Egypt without the continuation of standing at Mount Sinai. And for that matter, it's difficult to tell the story of the Jewish people about standing at Mount Sinai without the continuation of going to the land of Israel. But to a great extent, the story of leaving Egypt, snapshot, leaving Egypt, is what's celebrated on Passover. And it's on that day we think about, you know, what perhaps today is called social justice, how people shouldn't be enslaved, how people should be sensitive. The Jewish people need to have and to find what's deep inside, really part of our spiritual DNA, this idea of reaching out and helping and feeling for the disenfranchised and taking responsibility in this world. When we celebrate Passover, we celebrate Pesach, we drink 4 cups of wine. One of the rationales given for this is there are 4 expressions of freedom in this week's parsha. God says, Votzeti, he's going to take us out. God says, Vitzalti, he's going to save us. God says, Vaga'alti, he's going to redeem us. And God says, V'lakachti lila'am, I'm going to take you as a nation, which is almost a language of marriage. But if we keep reading the next verse, there's another expression of redemption. And that is, V'heveti, I'm going to bring you. V'heveti etchem el aretz, I'm going to bring you to the land. So it's really interesting because Passover itself, again, which we celebrate, is the idea of freedom. But you go one step further and we realize that freedom is intertwined with something else. And that is the land. Which means this old question, is Judaism a nation, a religion? And the answer is yes. The answer is both. And part of being a nation is land. And you can't separate them. It's true that on Passover, on Pesach, we celebrate that snapshot of becoming free. And we don't even speak or really express the idea of that next step of getting to Mount Sinai other than the Dayenu, where we actually appreciate every single step of the way. But as I said, it doesn't end there. This other element of God bringing us into the land, and it's a little more than that. The land over here is referred to as our inheritance. There's something else which is referred to as our inheritance, and that's Torah. Jews need to feel that the land of Israel and the Torah is our birthright. It's something which we own. It's something which we've inherited. Heard Rabbi Soloveitchik once say that if all the Jews in the world were to gather together and say, we renounce our ownership of the land of Israel, it is not binding whatsoever. The very simple reason is that they don't own it. Every generation owns it. All that we are caretakers for the next generation. Part of our responsibility as parents, teachers, and as rabbis is to take the Torah and to pass it on to the next generation and pass it on to this generation and let the people know who don't necessarily identify with it as their birthright, as their inheritance, to know you have a valuable inheritance. But this is equally true in terms of the land of Israel. The land of Israel was given just like the Torah to the entire Jewish people throughout history. Throughout many parts of history, we didn't have the opportunity to act on this inheritance, to take it into our possession. There's an interesting custom that some people have. And that custom was to drink a 1/5 cup of wine because of this. That custom remained as this sort of compromise where we pour the 1/5 cup and we don't drink it, known as the Kos of Eliyahu. It's because of this 5th language. And maybe some of us are waiting for Eliyahu to come and to say, it's time, you can go back. And some of us aren't waiting for Eliyahu. We've come back to claim our birthright.